Llegaron los Propane Days a Lowe's. Desde ahora hasta el 16 de junio, los miembros MVPs de Lowe's reciben un 20% de reembolso en pintura con una tarjeta de regalo electrónica de Lowe's por compras de pinturas elegibles de $100 o más. Lleva la nueva y exclusiva pintura HGTV Home de Sherwin-Williams SpecRite para interiores. Lowe's sabe de pros. Aplican exclusiones, restricciones y más términos. Visita Lowe's.com/L/Pro Loyalty Terms. Sujeto a cambios.
Here on the Monday edition of the North Shore Drive podcast, we got to ask the big question that everyone's going to be asking for some months now. What are the Steelers' top needs? Ray Fittipaldo, our dedicated Steelers beat writer, did focus on that point and picked five positions the Steelers should target, ranking them over the weekend of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you missed that, we're going to talk about that article right here on the North Shore Drive podcast, as well as talk about the crazy divisional round weekend that just happened and the Penguins situation as they take another tough loss. All that and more right here on the show. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We are here always from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and we're joined today by Ray Fittipaldo, breaking things down on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and especially on YouTube. If you see this video on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of our daily content. This show runs Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but we have multiple shows on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's podcast station, and we will keep rolling them out all week long. As I said, we're joined by Ray. He's always on the case when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ray, how you doing?
Good, Chris. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was nice and lovely. Got a chance to sit back and watch other people stress about football. So that was kind of fun just watching. I was actually at William Penn Tavern in Lawrenceville, and I didn't realize just how big the Bills presence could be at times. And I was just looking around. It's like, there are so many Bills fans here. And then it was just the saddest way of everyone leaving that bar. But we'll get to the playoffs in a bit. But I wanted to talk about your piece that you wrote over the weekend on the Steelers' top needs. It's called Steelers Offseason, Ranking the Top 5 Needs Ahead of Senior Bowl. So the Senior Bowl is coming up, and that's when the Steelers are going to get a chance to look a little bit closer. I believe their cornerbacks coach is going to have a chance to look at those guys as he'll be the defensive coordinator of the game. But in your rankings, you named, I think, the top five things that everyone kind of agrees on the Steelers need right now. Offensive line, you named the defensive line, cornerback, inside linebacker, and receiver. But you ordered them, kept keeping the offensive line top of their primary needs. What do you see as the opportunity for the Steelers to address the offensive line, considering they got better? Is this something that you think they need to address with their first round draft pick, or is this something that you might need to go get a good veteran in free agency to keep bolstering this line with guys who know how to play in the NFL?
No, Chris, I think they did the free agency aspect of it last year when they really solidified the interior with Mason Cole and James Daniels. And then I think this year, it's going to be, I think left guard or left tackle is a position they should draft. Doesn't necessarily have to be first round, if there's a higher player ranked on the board or if the top three offensive tackles are gone. But for me, the way I look at it is you made a big step in your rushing offense this year. You go from 29th to middle of the pack to 16th. I think if you bolster left guard or if you bolster left tackle, you could take an even bigger jump. And then just looking way down the road, a blindside protector for Kenny Pickett, someone that you can count on week in and week out. And, Dan Moore was okay this year, but there's still some issues with him in pass protection. And I think if you could upgrade there, that would be a good thing going forward.
Well, you listed cornerback as your number two, and his rankings were offensive line, cornerback, defensive line, inside linebacker, and receiver. But cornerback is one of those interesting positions because, as you know, Steelers fans would be like, Ray, they can't draft a cornerback. That's always doom and disaster when they draft a quarterback. But the Steelers do, I think, need, I'm with you, need a number one corner, and it might even be their top issue. They still have to sign Cameron Sutton. I think they should, and I think that they will find a way to make that happen because he's too good of a player, and I think too good of a piece that you can move around. As Mike Tomlin says, he plays multiples. They're going to want to keep him in the fold, and I think he's a very good, just solid number two corner. It's like Deshae Townsend. You could put him on whoever, and you could trust him to play to your scheme. But they need a guy who can fly, who can cover top receivers, and be a huge part of that cornerback room. I agree with you. I think that one of the priorities this offseason, and maybe even with the first-round pick, should be one of those cornerbacks. I think there's at least five guys that would be worth a first-round pick in this NFL draft.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent cornerback class when you look at it. And when you look at where the Steelers are drafting, you know, we just talked about Skoronski, Johnson, and Broderick Jones possibly being gone at 17. There's a better chance that one of those top five corners could be there for the Steelers to take. And then it would be a matter of, okay, where do they have them? You know, are they late first round guys, early second round guys, or are they legit middle of the first round guys that the Steelers could possibly take? One guy who's going to be at the Senior Bowl, who's been getting a lot of run lately, is Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois. He had a really good senior year. I'll be at the Senior Bowl next week. I'm sure I'll write about him. So that's one of the possibilities. But there's a lot of other guys, underclassmen, you know, who are in that first, early, second round range. And, you know, we've talked about it for the last 2 weeks, Chris, since the season ended. Not only do you get that number 17 pick, but you get the first pick of the second round, where, you know, the Steelers are not usually picking there, and they're going to have a chance to get, I think, a really good player. So whether that's a corner or another position of need, you know, that's really something that they're going to have to take advantage of this year.
Absolutely. Looking at the other needs, I think everyone agrees kind of wide receiver would be a really cool thing to add and give Kenny Pickett another weapon, but this team, you know, you got Deontay Johnson paid. You got George Pickens. You got Calvin Austin, who'll be coming back from injury. Maybe wide receiver later in the draft. Like, I could see third, fourth, fifth round pick and just see what that person brings to the fold. But there are the other needs that I think that you listed are very interesting here. Defensive line and linebacker, because the Steelers, they got better on defense this year. They were able to stuff the run, you know, a little bit more consistently. Still had days, though, where it looked a little rough for them, especially the first Ravens game that we saw from them. If they want to have the kind of success that this defense is supposed to have, they need to be able to still be physical up front. And, you know, there's questions about Larry Ogunjobi, what's going to happen with him. Devin Bush is most likely hitting free agency. Miles Jack's contract is kind of a situation with the how much money he's making versus the value that he's going to bring. I think he's an 11-plus million cap hit this year, and that's a lot of money to pay for a linebacker that doesn't create turnovers for you. You list a defensive line ahead of linebacker. Is that primarily because we don't know what's going on with Larry Ogunjobi, or even if they keep Larry Ogunjobi, you see defensive line as like a key factor that needs to be drafted soon, just so they have another young piece that grows alongside DeMarvin Leal?
Yeah, I mean, when you talked about Cam Sutton, I think Cam Sutton is a must sign as well. So we'll see how that plays out. I think Larry Ogunjobi, I think there's less certainty there. You know, he might want to go recoup on the open market some of the money that he feels like he lost after that situation with the Bears and how he failed the physical and everything. So, so he's got that injury history. You know, he's 28 years old, so he's getting up there. So I think that's a bigger question mark. And then you look at Cam Hayward, he's turning 34 in May, Chris. So even if you do get Larry Ogunjobi back, wouldn't it be smart to draft a guy who's going to be your next Hayward or your next Ogunjobi after they do move on, you know, if indeed you do sign Ogunjobi to another deal? So, I mean, I really like Leal. I like what he brings to the table, but I don't necessarily view him as a guy who's going to be like your next Hayward or your next Tuitt. I think he's like a chess piece that they can move all around their defense, but he's not that prototypical Steelers defensive end, certainly not in his body type. So, you know, that's where I am with that. You know, and knowing Andy Weidel, haven't done a story on him in mid-October. I wrote something on him before the Eagles game, before he went back to Philadelphia. he loves building up the trenches. And if you look at the way that Philadelphia team plays, all the hosses they have on the offensive line, the numbers they have on their defensive line. I mean, they just roll talented tackles and defensive ends in and out of that lineup. So for me, just sort of knowing what I know about Andy, knowing the age of that group, knowing the way I think he wants to build his football team, I just put defensive line a little bit higher than inside linebacker right now.
No, I feel you on that. And I think that that makes a lot of sense, especially with the way this team is, you know, built on stopping the run, getting after the quarterback. And off-ball linebackers would be nice to have, but you need that defensive front that's going to cause chaos. And also keep those off-ball linebackers clean, because if you do that, then it allows Miles Jack to be more of the heady kind of playmaker behind that defensive line. And you're right, the Eagles, they rotate that defensive line like nobody's business. I think that they've done a very good job as far as, you know, recruiting talent there. You do got to wonder with some of the talents out there. Everyone knows Jalen Carter is going to be gone top five. But what happens to Brian Breezy of Clemson? What happens to Siaki Ika? You know, guys like that. I think Kalijah Kancey would be a very interesting prospect. But at 6 foot tall, I think the Steelers, they want their defensive linemen to be anywhere from like 6'3 to 6'5 in that range. Just huge guys that are maulers and eating up blocks or beating up guys. I think it'll be a big question to see where they go. I do think they address that position group once or maybe twice this offseason to boost them. We'll see where they go with that. I want to get Ray's thoughts, though, on the Eagles playoffs game, because they stomped the Giants and they're headed to the NFC Championship game, but also the Bengals because they stomped the Bills. And I think you're seeing some very different styles of play lead the way in the NFL right now. And all of these kind of things are the things, if the Steelers want to get back to competition, they're going to have to play against those type of teams next year to make a difference. We'll see what happens there. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Valley Pool and Spa. Wouldn't it be nice if when all the snow starts flying, as it actually is starting to fly again here in Pittsburgh, if you were able to stay inside and relax in your own hot tub or swim spa from Valley Pool and Spa? Well, now's your chance, because Valley Pool and Spa is giving you a lot of great opportunities. You have to check out their Finleo sauna that's going to help you feel relaxed, melt away your stress, and be right and cozy in your home. Save big now on all in-stock hot tubs, swim spas, and saunas by visiting valleypoolspa.com. That's Valley Pool Spa.
Llegaron los Propane Days a Lowe's. Desde ahora hasta el 16 de junio, los miembros MVPs de Lowe's reciben un 20% de reembolso en pintura con una tarjeta de regalo electrónica de Lowe's por compras de pinturas elegibles de $100 o más. Lleva la nueva y exclusiva pintura HGTV Home de Sherwin-Williams SpecRite para interiores. Lowe's sabe de pros. Aplican exclusiones, restricciones y más términos. Visita Lowe's.com/L/Pro Loyalty Terms. Sujeto a cambios.
Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter with Ray Fittipaldo. We're talking all things Steelers right now, but let's take a step back and look at it more globally at the NFL, because it was a busy weekend for the divisional round of the playoffs. The Chiefs suffered an injury to Patrick Mahomes, a high ankle sprain that he was able to play through, and they were able to win 27-20 against the upstart Jaguars, who almost pulled off an upset at Arrowhead and became just the only other team not named the Pittsburgh Steelers to beat Andy Reid coming off a bye week. Ray, are the Chiefs kind of doomed if Patrick Mahomes' situation is what it's thought to be, just that high ankle sprain? Because you've seen Ben Roethlisberger have to play off that, and it's a very limiting injury.
Hey, listen, the Bengals defense last year in the AFC Championship game, they got after a healthy Patrick Mahomes and really, bothered him all day. I remember Hendrickson in that game was a problem for the Chiefs. Now you add in the fact that he's going to be hobbled, and it's been confirmed it's a high ankle sprain. They'll do everything they can to get him to a point where he can go out there like he was in the second half of that game against the Bills, but he's going to be severely limited. His scrambling, he scrambled a little bit in the second half, but, you know, he's not going to be able to get more than, 3 or 5 yards, I don't think. So that creates so much more for the Bengals and their defensive staff. I think they could be much more aggressive now. So, I mean, I think that's huge for the Bengals. And, you know, how about what they did yesterday? Down three offensive linemen, three starting offensive linemen. And, Chris, it didn't even look like it mattered. I mean, the Bills had no pass rush. You know, Joe was able to sit back there when he wasn't. When he was a little bit bothered by the rush, he would step up. He would make plays. I mean, you know, for Joe Burrow to do that under those circumstances and that weather, that team, I don't know that they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, but that team's going to be a problem for years to come just because of Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor. I think, you know, Burrow clearly is a top three, top five quarterback in this league, and Taylor just continues to impress me every time I watch that guy in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly been interesting the last 2 years, the runs they've been on. And you looked at that game, I mean, not just Joe Burrow, but Joe Mixon getting busy. And that was one of the things that I think helped balance things for Burrow, because Burrow didn't have to do a whole lot. He threw two touchdowns in the game. And whenever they wanted to switch away from it, they just ran to Joe Mixon. He averaged 5 yards per carry, got a touchdown. It's just the perfect balance of things. You know, I thought in that game, Ja'Marr Chase was going to have to go off. He only had 5 catches for 61 yards and 1 score. That should be alarming to teams, and I think that's the real talent of them. But I also think just as much credit as they get for scoring 27 points, you got to look at Lou Anarumo and see what he's done, the defensive coordinator for the Bengals, and what he's done in the playoffs. Because just as important as Joe Burrow stepping up, the Bengals, I think this is one of the biggest advantages of having Burrow and Chase on those rookie contracts. They can pay whoever they want. Stay on defense. They, you know, that's why they were able to go get Mike Hilton and guys like that to kind of build. And you had a defense that limited Josh Allen and that Bills offense that was really a problem for a lot of people all season. I mean, 10 points scored for a Bills team with Josh Allen, who was coming into this year. This was supposed to be their year. This was supposed to be the year that they were going to crush everyone. And we saw in the opener, they crushed the Rams, the Super Bowl champs, and everyone was like, well, that's kind of that if you look at it that way. But they hold the Bills to the lowest amount of points that they've scored all season. To me, that I think is the real threat of the Bengals right now, is that you have Joe Burrow and all that going right for you on offense, but on the defense, they're also a real problem.
Yeah, and for Buffalo, you know, were they just emotionally spent after the last 3 weeks going through what they went through with Damar Hamlin? Or is it a situation where they're kind of like approaching a window here? You got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, you got Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and you got Jacksonville on the come with Lawrence. Have they not taken advantage? Have they kind of missed their opportunity these last few years? So it's going to be fascinating to see how they approach the offseason. I think they have many more free agents and offseason decisions they have to make about their roster than the Bengals do. I think the Bengals actually – they've got like one more year of a grace period before they got to sign Joe Burrow until that second big contract kicks in, until they really have to make the tough decisions. So for me, it's like the Bengals are up here, the Bills are down here, and the Bills are going like this. I don't know if the Bills are going to be able to recover from this.
It is a big question. And I think the Bills are the sign of, you know, the window doesn't always stay open just because you have your favorite quarterback in there. And Josh Allen's been phenomenal in a lot of these years, but they're a team that, you know, I said a couple years ago, I'm like, man, they need to strike now, because you can't just always pay for Stephon Diggs and get Von Miller and get all these guys on defense, because you're right. You look at the Bills situation right now, you know, they have Tremaine Edmonds, but they're not going to be able to pay him right now. Going into next year, there are still $8.4 million over the cap right now, projected-wise, as far as that goes. But, you know, so they're going to have to make moves with the guys they have on the roster and to see what happens there. I think that you're right. The Bills, as far as their roster building right now, they've got a lot more questions. Like you said, the Bengals, you got Joe Burrow under a rookie contract for the next 2 years, you're fine. You got Ja'Marr Chase for the next 3 years, you're fine. You could be aggressive still, make some moves there, and keep building around them. But I think that you could look at the Bills as a warning sign, because we all thought for the last 3 years or so, the Bills are going to eventually crack through and get their Super Bowl. Now we're talking about, now that window might be closing. The Bengals need to strike while the iron's hot, and they're going to have to do so against one of those two NFC teams that looks real nasty right now. The Niners with a tough, hard-fought win against the Cowboys, and the Eagles. I thought the Eagles were in trouble because I wasn't so sure Jalen Hurts would be coming back off his injury and looking good, Ray. They shut me up because they dog-snot out of the Giants and looked like, man, if the Eagles play like that, they're probably going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, like to me, a couple of these games, it was clear. Like the Giants clearly were not ready for primetime. They were never in that football game. And I kind of look at the Jaguars, not in the same light, but kind of a similar way. That game was there for the taking.
Yeah.
They had the Chiefs backed up on the 2-yard line. Chad Henne comes in that football game, and they let him go down the field and score. And so for me, like when I look at that, you know, your first experience with Trevor Lawrence, you had a chance right there to get to the AFC Championship game off schedule, you know, before anyone thought. And now it's going to be like, okay, when are we going to get there? What do we got to do to get there? And, you know, sometimes playoff experience is good. Sometimes it takes a while for that to happen. But other times it's just clear that, you know, those teams were not ready. The New York Giants and the Jaguars clearly were not ready to be in the final eight this year. And for me, it'll be interesting to see how those teams rebound going forward. The Giants have issues at quarterback. They don't know who the quarterback's going to be. You know, the Jaguars have some other roster decisions to make. They got some guys who are going to be free agents. So we'll see if those types of teams who are surprises this year, we'll see if they can get back next year.
Yeah, we'll never know. The Bengals were a bit of a surprise last year with how quickly they climbed to the Super Bowl. We'll see if one of those teams can kind of take the Bengals lead and kind of be a quick riser as well, with especially with Trevor Lawrence being a first overall pick like himself and the progress made with Doug Peterson there. I think the Jaguars will certainly be a team to watch and how they handle this offseason. We'll talk more about that all offseason long, getting you ready for the conference championships. We got our Wednesday and Friday episodes to talk about that. But I have to take a break from Ray and go to our Penguins talk. We have to talk about the Penguins. It's looking even more rough at times for this team. We'll get some answers about their situation in just a minute. But first, we're going to talk to you guys about Yinzers in the Berg. Yinzers in the Berg is the place to go if you need Pittsburgh sports apparel. So Yinzers, listen up. Whether you want to support the Steelers in their offseason, the Pirates, or you want to support the Penguins and try to get them out of the rut they're in, you got to go get your black and gold gear from Yinzers in the Berg. And where's Yinzers in the Berg? Well, they got 2 stores in the Strip District that you can visit at any point in time. They got merchandise always coming out there. But if you can't get to the Strip District, that's all right. You can go to YinzersPGH.com. That's YinzersPGH.com. It's their website that's updating every week with new merchandise on all things Pittsburgh sports right there. Go to Yinzers in the Berg for all your Pittsburgh sports apparel, accessories, and much, much more. Again, Yinzers in the Berg, find them at YinzersPGH.com. That's YinzersPGH.com. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. And as you've seen, we've switched. Ray Pitapato is gone, and in comes Andrew Destin, who's still hard at work in his hotel room out there in Newark, New Jersey. Andrew, you watched the Penguins lose another tough one last night against the Devils, a team that's, you know, kind of doing well, sitting high in the conference right now, kind of locked into their playoff position at 64 points. What went wrong for the Penguins and their chance to kind of pull off this upset and kind of, you know, set a new tone, saying like, hey, we aren't slipping out of the playoffs. We are going to be making this push coming the second half of the season.
Yeah, it's quite simple to say puck luck, right? I mean, when you outshoot a team, when you really outperform them for the majority of it, from the first period onward, really from the first 60 seconds onward, I mean, Jack Hughes had the opening goal for the Devils. I think it was 56 seconds in, and you're thinking, all right, here we go again with the Penguins. Fifth time they've given up a goal in the opening minute over like the last month and a half. But from that point on, really, the Penguins kind of took it to the Devils, and that was a game where they out-physicated them. They possessed the puck for longer, outshot them 10-2 in the second period. And you brought it up there, Chris. This is a Devils team that is very competent, and on the offensive end especially, they've got some serious firepower there. So for the Penguins to hold them to just 2 shots on net in that second period, really indicative of how well this Penguins team was playing. But as we've seen time and time again this season, when they can't close it out in regulation and you're leaving it up to chance, that is the overtime period we've seen in the NHL since they switched it over from 4-on-4 to 3-on-3 a couple years back. It's such an open ice game where anything can really happen. And it seems like line changes. Coach Mike Sullivan talked about this afterward, switching on and off the ice, a problem for the Penguins in overtime. And overtime in general has been a problem. They're now 2-8 on the season in overtime. Yeah, you know, I mean, that it's not going to cut it. And if we look back on this season in April, and if this is the first year in, you know, nearly 2 decades that the Penguins don't make the playoffs, which, not to jump to the gun there, But if they do, you got to point to the overtime periods. You got to look at the plethora of them. I mean, we're a little bit over halfway in the season, and a quarter of their games have gone to overtime. You'd like that win-loss split to be right around 50-50. Obviously, more than that. If you're the Penguins, you'd like it to be better, but the law of large numbers would say this should balance out, but maybe this is just representative of a slower, older Penguins team that struggles to get on and off the ice, and when there's only three players on each team on the ice, three skaters, that is, maybe that exposes your holes a little bit more. And Penguins thought they got the game winner from Marcus Pedersen there in the overtime period. Too many men on the ice, not a good enough line change. So it just goes to show that the little details, they do matter. And it might sound like coach speak, but in the overtime period where every glaring issue, every flaw is put on display and given a larger magnitude, that was really the case yesterday for a Penguins team that really outplayed the Devils for 59 minutes of 60 minutes of regulation.
And I think that just kind of highlights what I think Penguins fans are going to feel the most frustrating about their situation right now, is that, like, they're getting good games, good stretches. They're getting good performances, and then things just being able to slip by. Those are the moments that you're going to look back at. And if the Penguins are in this playoff push in a couple months here, when the actual playoffs are going to be wrapping up, and they're down a point, or they're within, or a team's within a point of them, you're going to look back to moments like this and be like, oh wow, like, we, you know, if only like this moment here and that moment there, and added up, I think that the Penguins could be in that situation. But here's where I'm at. I know a lot of people are stressing and this looks bad, but the Penguins, over my time of just keeping up with them, they have made several really good second half of the season pushes, and they've been able to string together something, get a push, even when they've been in the bottom of the standings in their division or conference, and they're able to fight their way back, get to the playoffs. They could do that again this year, but I think what a lot of people are looking at is the lack of salary cap space that's left for this team right now, and the amount of maneuvering Ron Hextall would have to do to make something like that happen, a move to get some faster legs on the team, or to get to add the right piece. I'm not so sure that the front office will have the guns to be able to pull something like that off. It might have to be with the guys who are on the roster right now, and that might be the thing to worry about.
Yeah, I think you're completely right, Chris. And if there's anything that should make Penguins fans optimistic, it is that the team is getting healthier. I mean, Jeff Petrie has looked good since his return, but your point is a valid one. This team, with what it's dealing with the salary cap, it's kind of, I want to say it's been a blessing. You never want to see players get injured if you're the Penguins, but having guys get banged up, it's given opportunities to a guy like, Ty Smith with Chris Letang out. It allowed them to actually call up Ty Smith. They weren't able to with the salary cap restrictions for much of the first half of the season. Then Letang goes down and they can actually give Ty Smith some run. Now, obviously, as any Penguins fan knows, you'd rather have Letang out there than Ty Smith, sure. But, the point is that, like you said, salary cap restrictions are very, very real. And I don't know. I think you put it well. I don't know that Ron Hextall really can do anything in terms of the salary cap here. And I don't know that there is anybody that they're going to be able to pick up before the trade deadline. So I think if there's any saving grace, it's that you got guys coming back. Petrie has points in the last couple of games from the blue line. That's, for as much as they're paying him, you'd like to see that. You have Ryan Poehling coming back. He played yesterday against the Devils. That was his first game since December 30th. He's missed 12 out of the last 13. He's a high-energy guy who skates well and, a youthful presence who helps out on the penalty kill, as well as just, a forechecking forward on that fourth line who can be impactful. So I think for this Penguins team, it's good to just kind of rely on who you have. I know that sounds vanilla and it's simplistic, but I think it's the truth, is that they've been banged up by injuries, and as more and more guys come back here, and timing of the All-Star break, I think couldn't be much better for the team. Only three games before that All-Star break hits, which Sidney Crosby is the only representative for the team as of right now. So practically everybody's going to get some much-needed rest and more time for that rehabilitation as they come back right around Valentine's Day to try and make, like you said, one of those trademark pushes over the next 2 months, because it's going to be all hands on deck.
Absolutely. They play the Florida Panthers tomorrow at home, PPG Paints Arena. Andrew, I assume you're gonna be there. What are, you know, that's the team that's closest to them in the standings right now. They're only 3 points back of the Penguins, and that's something that I think that they definitely got to look at. What are the biggest things that you need to see from the Penguins to pull off that win and kind of keep that distance there?
Yeah, keep being aggressive in the offensive end, and I'm also curious to see how Mike Sullivan chooses to approach his netminding situation, because like we brought up, you know, 3 games over the next 5 days. You go Panthers on Tuesday, at the Capitals Thursday, home against the Sharks on Saturday. You'd like to get 4 points, if not more, try to get wins out of 2 of those 3 games. But Tristan Jarry, who's just come back from injury, he's played in 2 of the last 3 days. They're off on Sunday today, or on Monday today, excuse me. But, you know, he's already played 2 games, started 2 games, had some overtime minutes as well over the last 3 days. If he doesn't get the start in net against this Panthers squad, it's going to be Casey DeSmith again, who, to put it mildly, his season has been a bit underwhelming. He's been very up and down, very inconsistent. And when he was thrust into that number one role for the Penguins during that stretch where Jarry was out, you know, it was a mixed bag of results. He had good games against the Coyotes. He had other ones where, you know, left something to be desired. So I'm curious to see how Sullivan chooses to approach that. If this is a game where he says, we'll go with Casey and then try Tristan for the last two, because the Capitals, you know, obviously with that roster and just what's known about that team, you want to push for that one. And then the Sharks, one of the bottom feeders of the Western Conference, you'd think, you know, whoever you get in net there, you'd like to get 2 points. So I'm curious to monitor that situation, but also just continue the aggressive attack. I mean, they outpossessed the Devils with the puck in the offensive end for over 3 minutes in the second period. Just keep up that kind of pressure. This is a team that, with its talented top six, you can do that to teams. Keep doing it. Keep being aggressive. There's no reason to let off the gas pedal. And Jason Zucker, I think, put it best after the second Senators game on Friday, that there's only a few more games before the All-Star break. Push, get through it, and try to get as many points as you can, because, you know, there's a break coming up soon. So against this Panthers squad, I think the key is just, who do you have in net and what kind of performance do you get out of them? And then from that top six, keep being the aggressor, because Sidney Crosby was able to get off the snide, get his first goal in what felt like forever, and that second line continues to perform pretty well for the Penguins.
We'll see if they can get that top six to get things going. I do agree. It's going to be a lot on those guys to turn things around. I'm not so sure that there's going to be a move or a magical trade that's going to happen over the next bit of time that's going to be able to give the Penguins that boost. If it's going to be on this team to turn around, it's going to be on those guys at the top of the lineup to kind of carry them that way. But we'll see what happens. They play the Panthers Tuesday, and then I believe their next game is Friday?
Thursday at the Capitals.
Thursday, that's right. Thursday in DC.
Yep.
So that'll be an interesting one. We'll see how they make that push to the All-Star break. And then, like you said, the much needed break. How healthy do they look coming out of that? We'll have it all right here on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you, Andrew, for joining us here in the North Shore Drive podcast. I've been your host, Chris Carter. Also, big shout out to Ray Fittipaldo for also being our earlier guest today. We'll be back Wednesday with the next edition of the show, probably talking about what happened with the Penguins and the Florida Panthers on Tuesday night, as well as all things else Pittsburgh sports. Keep it right here on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's podcast channel. We'll see you again very soon.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you're watching this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For 6 months of digital access to post-gazette.com for just $6, click the link down below in the description.
Llegaron los Propane Days a Lowe's. Desde ahora hasta el 16 de junio, los miembros MVPs de Lowe's reciben un 20% de reembolso en pintura con una tarjeta de regalo electrónica de Lowe's por compras de pinturas elegibles de $100 o más. Lleva la nueva y exclusiva pintura HGTV Home de Sherwin-Williams SpecRite para interiores. Lowe's sabe de pros. Aplican exclusiones, restricciones y más términos. Visita Lowe's.com/L/Pro Loyalty Terms. Sujeto a cambios.